Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Judges, please, chapter 13. Judges, chapter 13. Here we have an account of the Lord sending a special message to Manoah and his wife, who later became the parents of the great man called Samson, whom God has prepared to deliver Israel from the hands of her enemies, particularly the Philistines. Now in chapter 13, verses 22 and 23, we read of a conversation that occurred between Manoah and his wife. And it goes like this. And Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have shown us all these things, nor would as this time have told us such things as this." The Lord has sent the angel of the Lord to appear to them. Let me also take you to the background so we can follow the thoughts of the story clearly. Please take a look at verse 2 now. What is the background to this little conversation that we have in verses 22 to 23? Well, verse 2 says, "There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Lord sent a message to Manoah's wife. She was barren. She couldn't conceive children. Of course, every married couple look forward to have children. Those who love God love to have children, to bring them up in the fear of God. I believe that was the case of Mr. and Mrs. Manoah. But they didn't have children. And this message was indeed a wonderful surprise, a joyful news for this couple. What did Manoah's wife do when she heard this wonderful message? Well, look at verse 6. "The woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible or very awesome. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Look at Manoah's response to this news. Verse 8. "Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." See, Manoah asked a great favor from the Lord, that the Lord would send the same person who came to his wife to him, that he may know this thing clearly. Now, he was not doubting. He was asking that he may know more. His faith was excited by the news, and he straightaway went to the Lord and he prayed. He spread his hand before the Lord in prayer and said, "Lord, Thank you, thank you. My wife is excited. She told me, and I believe that. Now, please tell me how to look after this child. Send the same man so I would know this is true. Now, dear friends, such prayers are wonderful. We must be people of prayer, always expecting a blessing from the Lord, because we know nobody else can bless us. Only the Lord can bless us, and His blessings are perfect, and they are desirable. Go ask the Lord for a blessing. He is our blessed God. It is not a crime to ask God to bless you. But go nowhere. Stand before no idol. Don't go and seek any man, but seek your God, just like Manoah did. But remember, when you ask for a blessing, you are also asking God to send His blessing according to His will. All right? You are not going to say, Lord, Thou art my God, Thou art the one who can bless me, so bless me as I like. No. That would be dangerous. Because you may be proposing to God, if you bless me the way I bless me, then it will be better. Then you'll be saying that, Lord, I'm better than you. My thinking is better. Well, if that's the kind of prayer you pray, well, very likely such a prayer will not be answered. But if you pray, Lord, bless me as Thou wilt, then you must be prepared to take that blessing as the Lord sends it. A lot of us would ask for blessing, but we are quite unprepared to receive that blessing as the Lord would send it. And when the Lord sends it in our way, we get stressed up, we get frightened, and we start asking questions that are rather a sign of our unwillingness to yield or submit to God. If you want to be truly blessed, you really have to be prepared to receive the blessing as the Lord would send it. Not in your terms, but in His terms. Well, verse 9 says, God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. What a beautiful statement. Every time when I read in the scriptures, God heard the prayer of His servant, my heart gets very excited. I say, I better pray. God listens. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Look at that. The man of God appeared as Manoah prayed, but not to him, again to his wife. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, a man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? Up to this point of time, Manoah don't complain, though he asked for God to instruct him through the same person who came down. The Lord sent him to his wife. And when the wife came to him to talk about it, he made no complaints. He didn't say, are you sure? It's not you who asked God to send that man. I'm the one who asked. Why didn't God send him to me? There was no complaint. He quickly went with his wife and asked him, are you the one who talked to my wife? Now please tell me, as I prayed to the Lord, what shall I do to look after this child? You see, he still exercised faith. Now we move on. Verse 13, and the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. Nothing much. There is no more new news for you. I've already told your wife. And he repeated, verse 14, please. She may not eat of anything that cometh of wine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Nothing new. I've already instructed her. You listen to her and do the same thing. The child ought to be a Nazarite, a specially dedicated child to God's purposes. and there are certain things that they have to obey. There are certain food and drink that he has to refrain from, and all those were given very clearly. Those instructions were clear. Now verse 15. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kit for thee. You see, Manoah was not only a man of faith that to this point, he was also a very hospitable believer. We are to be hospitable, right? In the book of Hebrews, we are told that there were some who were kind to strangers to the point that they even played host to the angels. And Manoah is one of them. Abraham was another one, we know. So here they said, may we detain you, please stay back. Now verse 16. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. So this was an angel of the Lord. And the angel said, well, it's good that you detain me. I have no objection to it. But I won't eat anything. But you must thank your God. And you must offer sacrifice to the Lord. Of course, the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, we are clearly taught all the offerings of the Old Testament were a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. He is our perfect sacrifice. Jesus has sacrificed himself on our behalf. Well, that's today you and I don't have to bring animals here to sacrifice, because the Lamb of God himself became our sacrifice. Well, we can take joy in it. But here the angel said, you pray to the Lord, you offer your sacrifices to the Lord, you seek His forgiveness, you trust Him, and you say thank you to your God. Well, what's more? Let's come back to the text. Verse 17. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. What did he do wondrously? Well, look at verse 20. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Amazing thing. Suddenly this angel started to go up. As the flame of the altar went up, he also went up. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. It was an amazing display of power. And they could not behold that scene for too long. They knew God was there. His presence was real. They immediately bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the angel, verse 21, but the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Suddenly, Manoah's mind started to work. He started to think about those things that happened. All was a surprise to him. He was not prepared for such an event. But God, in His divine providence, in mercy, has appeared to his wife. And now, in answering his prayer, the Lord also sent the angel to discuss with him. God was gracious. Do you know, my dear friends, when you ask, as I said a while ago, for things that would help you to serve God even better, God would help you. But when it comes, it's not going to leave you as you have been always. You cannot be carefree anymore. Because when God answers, He answers to transform you to be His vessel for His purpose. And that would mean you cannot remain as simple-minded or thoughtless or carefree. God will work to turn you around for His own purpose. God is going to give Mr. and Mrs. Manoah a very strong child, Samson, who is to deliver God's people from a terrible enemy. To bring up a strong man like Samson, Manoah must have a strong faith. Manoah's spiritual life had to be prepared. Bringing him up is not an easy task. It's a special work. Suddenly Manoah was troubled. Oh, I stood before the presence of God, the presence of the angel. And the way my sacrifice was accepted. Oh, this is all too amazing for me. And he immediately told his wife, which we read a while ago. Verse 22, Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." Not so much that they have seen God face to face, but even the presence of an angel make him fear. Oh, which man can stand before God's presence? We know the great prophet Isaiah, when he had the vision of God sitting on his throne, having his angels flying around and saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," he cried out, "Oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. Woe unto me," he said. He felt that he's going to die. The holiness of God, the brilliance of the infinitely holy God makes sinful men feel like dying. Sinner, sinners, you and me, when you hear the gospel, when you hear that God who is infinitely holy and just, who is full of wrath against you, had mercy to send the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, how would you feel? Oh, the first thought, could it be possible that a God whom I have offended would love me? We will fall on our face and plead for mercy, isn't it? Oh Lord, I don't deserve this, but have mercy. But sometimes people who hear the gospel call get so frightened and they would say, "Oh, I'm not good enough for God. I'm a very bad sinner. I have done things that are not even easy to listen to. My sins are gruesome. Oh, I don't want any man to hear about it. And I don't think even God would forgive me for such and such things that I have committed." And they like to hear the fact that God would forgive, but they are not fully convinced. And this happens not only to people who are unconverted, but even to Christians who have already trusted the Lord, but then backslided into sinful ways. And when they are called back to the Lord again, they would say, "Oh, not yet. I'm not clean. I don't think I can serve the Lord yet. I'm not good enough." But in the process of time, they have already prayed, "Lord, have mercy. Don't kill me. I'm a sinner. You know, Lord, please mercy, be merciful. I will come back to you." And when the Lord sends His mercy toward them, they suddenly stand and say, "Oh, I'm going to die, I think. No more. No more redemption. No more forgiveness." Manoah was very troubled. You know, dear friends, we all must thank God for good wives. We must always thank God for good people who are strong in faith, whom the Lord puts around us. It's God's mercy. See what Mrs. Manoha said? Verse 23. She has an excellent argument to strengthen this weakened soul. And she said, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, He would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering from our hands. Not too long ago, my wife and I visited a lady who was going through cancer treatment. She had breast cancer, and her situation was very terrible. She also had family problems, very severe problems. She said to us that she has been a Christian for some time. She loves the Lord, but she is not a strong Christian. She wanted to seek the Lord. So she was introduced to a charismatic lady who claimed to be a prophetess. And that lady said, the reason why you have cancer is because you have a generation curse on you. I don't know what it is, but she says, you have some generation curse on you. And I should pray over you so that this curse will go from you. Then I asked this sister who was suffering, that does this charismatic prophetess know that you are already a believer? You trusted the Lord? Yes, yes, she knows. Then why does she say that you are still under the curse? Well, that's what she thinks. I said, this is all very strange to me. Let's all turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Read the first verse in it. I don't mind you read with me. Let's all read. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, let this be clear in your heart, okay? Reading. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now look at the first part. What does it say? There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no more curse on you. There is no more condemnation on you. The Lord has took it all away. I said, if you trust the Lord, if you believe in God's word, and if you walk according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, let no man ever whisper into your ears that you are still under God's curse. Oh, they may tell you, oh, it's the curse that God put upon your parents that is now on you. Nonsense. Whatever curse there had been on you, it's all removed once and for all on the cross. You know, the only curse you have to worry about is the curse that comes from God. If God is for you, nobody can be against you. So if your condemnation that is righteously yours because of your sins is removed by Christ who died for you on the cross, and if you are a child of God, then even if 10,000 people curse you, don't be afraid, all right? Because you are saved and saved to the uttermost. Look at Mrs. Manoah's argument. If the Lord has pleased to receive our sacrifice, and how better an argument we do have today. Our sacrifice was even more, in fact, I would say infinitely acceptable to God. You know why? It was offered by the Son of God. Oh, I'm gloriously saved. Whether it's cancer or accident or business difficulties or that problem or this problem, I am safe in the arms of Jesus. Sisters, whisper to your husbands to trust the Lord and be sure He is their safety. Brothers, whisper to your wives. When their heart is troubled, wondering whether God has abandoned them, sweetheart, didn't we trust the Lord? He will never abandon us. Parents, tell your children when they are troubled over exams or failures in exams or this problem or that problem. Oh, child, continue to trust the Lord. The Lord has loved you and removed all thy curse on the cross. And He shall be your guide all the way. He will not abandon us halfway through. Our redemption is eternal. And that's what Jesus' sacrifice have achieved for us. I would like to read just one more verse to confirm this truth, that the Lord has accepted the sacrifice on our behalf, which Jesus offered, that we may have eternal redemption. Again, I take your attention to Hebrews 9. And here, I want to read from verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Praise the Lord. You know, dear friends, it's an abominable thing to think that after Jesus saved, we will be lost. We can never be lost. He has found us. He has saved us. He has cleansed us with His blood. And we belong to Him now and forever. Your troubles are not a sign that God has abandoned you. Your sense of fear is not a sign that God has abandoned you. Your sense of inadequacy and inability does not mean that God has abandoned you. But all these tell you, now you're going to taste Him even more. Open your eyes. Trust Him. You asked Him to bless you, didn't you? You asked Him to come and strengthen you, didn't you? You asked Him to make your life a blessing, didn't you? Then let Him have His way. To have His way in your life, you just have to trust Him. 100%. Like Mrs. Manoah strengthened her husband. Didn't the Lord accept us? Are we not accepted in the beloved Son of God? And He now calls us beloved. We are the beloved of God because we are accepted in the beloved, which is Christ Himself. Perish the thought that whispers in our mind that God will not help you, that God will curse you, that your cancer means God has abandoned you and you are going to burn in the curses of generations. Cursed be such thoughts. This is not the reason why God has sent His Son to be a sacrifice for us, that we may be saved forever and none shall pluck us out of His hand. But our life is not just believing in the goodness of the Lord, but let that belief in the goodness of God that saves us to the uttermost to take control of the rest of our life. If you don't let our faith grow each day in the goodness of the Lord, in His redemption, in His preservation and His guidance, we cannot be a blessing. But if you continue to grow in faith in the Lord and His goodness, we will naturally be prepared by the providence of God to accomplish everything that God has planned for us. And you see, coming back to Judges chapter 13, verse 23, Manoah's wife argued again. When I said argue, I did not mean arguing to quarrel, but this is the positive side of argument. Trying to confirm in the heart of her dear husband, she says, neither would He have shown us all these things nor would us at this time have told us such things as this. You know, if the Lord wanted to kill you and me now, why would He tell us that we are going to have a son and He will deliver Israel from Philistines? If God kill you now, how can I conceive a child? You think God is so fickle-minded, He says one thing now, and the next moment He says, oh sorry, I changed my mind. God is immutable, He is unchanging. Come on, think man, think. You know, dear friends, when we become so occupied with ourselves, we don't think well. We think we are thinking very well. I think Manoah said to his wife all these things. Hopefully his wife will have more sympathy on him. Say, okay, we are going to die. Okay, don't wake up. We are going to die. That's no humility. So Manoah's wife said, look, man, listen. Listen to what God has said. Don't listen to your argument. Listen to what God said. Praise God for His word. What is this for? Not to decorate your bookshelf. Not to keep under your pillow so you have no bad dreams. What is this for? Read it! It is to guide you all the way till you accomplish all the good purposes of God which God has foreordained concerning you. And they're all yea and yea. It's not yea and nay. Neither nay and yea. It's always yes. We believe in every single word that God has spoken. The promises of God that He revealed, they are wondrous. Even in death, we will not think God will drop us and let us die without any grace and victory. Do you know, even when you take your last breath, it can be in the fullness of God's grace, accomplishing everything that God has planned for you. Even death is a victorious moment for a Christian. So it's important how we die, right? We cannot die by saying, oh, Lord has given up on me, and die. No. Even in death, we will express our confidence if we can, if God gives us grace. If we can utter a word, if we can put up a smile on our face, we want to do it even when we die because we believe in every promise of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I believe in it. I close my eyes. My Lord will be there. But you see, Manoah is not yet to die. It's not time for him to die. God's timing hasn't come. He had to see the child being born. God already told him what to do. You see, his question in prayer was this: Lord, send a man and tell me what I have to do to bring up this child, right? And the Lord said everything to him, and he says, I'm going to die. Even if he say, okay, you will be pregnant, Mrs. Manoah. I will be alive until you are pregnant. Maybe before the child will be born, I will die. But listen, what did you pray? What was the answer? Lord, teach me what I shall do to bring up this child. So if you die before the child is born, how are you going to bring up? God already told you what to do to bring up the child. You see, sometimes our arguments are plain silly. It's simply because we don't listen carefully to what God says. We twist and turn God's word at our convenience sometimes. And we get frightened. How gracious God is. You see, God not only answers His children and the prayer through the word of God, but God also, listen to this, providentially strengthens His answer through brethren and events around us. Thank God, God gave this wisdom to Mrs. Manoah, right? If Mrs. Manoah also think like Mr. Manoah, both will be crying the whole day. We are going to die. Okay, yeah, that's right. We are going to die. Oh, you also think that we are going to die. Oh, okay, then confirm. Two are a confirmation. We are going to die. It will be a very depressed house to live. There will be no joy. You know what true lifers need? You know what my church people should do? We should get along and say, the Lord is with us. We have problems. The Lord is with us. We stand up for His word. We preach His word. We are called to do mission work in different parts of the world. We cannot die. Let people say what they want to say. The Lord is with us. Didn't He say that? Has He not done good things through us? Has He not led us up to this point? Will He drop us here? If He drop us here, then where are His purposes? He'll be seen as unfaithful. But our God is not unfaithful. He is faithful. He will accomplish all the good purposes that He has begun in us. Let's cheer one another. Instead of, you know, listening to somebody saying something very depressing, you say, yeah, you think so? I was thinking also like that. That's not good. Cheer. Cheer one another in the Lord. That's why even when Apostle Paul was in the prison, when believers were rather sad, he wrote to the Philippians saying, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Where was Paul? In the Roman prison. He was in the high security prison of Caesar's palace. He was not ready to give up. He could have said, oh Lord, why did you give up on me? I'm now stuck in this prison. You call me to be a missionary, to stand even before the kings to preach the gospel. But why am I now in this prison? Finish, finish, finish. No. You read at the end of Philippians, Apostle Paul's testimony, he says to the Philippians, now the household of Caesar greet thee. In other words, there was a small church in the Caesar's palace, because through the imprisonment that sent him to the jail within the Caesar's palace, he managed to preach the gospel to the soldiers. So if you read chapter 1 of Philippians, verses 12 and 13, there you read the gospel spread among the soldiers in the palaces and around the palaces. And there was a household of faith. Why? How was he able to achieve this? Because he refused to give in to doubt and fear. He kept trusting that the Lord has called me for a purpose and He will accomplish it. Whether it will be out in the street or on the church pulpit or in the prison cell, it doesn't matter. God lives. His purposes cannot be thwarted. All of it will come to pass. And I am a vessel whom God has chosen. Praise be unto His name. You read the stories of godly people. Don't waste your time reading all the nonsensical novels of the world. Read the Bible stories. They are wonderful. They are for our edification. Study them. Drink them. They are a tonic to your soul. Is your heart troubled? Have you been praying? When you prayed, you seemed to have some fear. You thought God is answering, but suddenly you get frightened and you feel, oh, maybe I'm not able to take this on. I know of young girls who prayed for a good husband. And I remember in particular a young lady who asked me to pray for her that she may have a godly husband. Very good prayer. And when a Christian man was interested in her, she became so frightened. She said, Pastor, I'm very scared. Very scared. Maybe I will cause him to abandon the Lord. I said, why? Because I'm so scared all the time. I don't know whether I can talk to this man. I said, he is interested. You go and talk. Praise the Lord. You were asking me to pray, right? Now why are you saying that? So this yesterday evening, she SMS'd me, Pastor, today I'll be meeting him. Please pray for me. I said, okay, God be with you. So this afternoon, she will be seeing her boyfriend. I hope she will not tell him, I'm sorry, don't marry me. I hope she will be clever enough to exercise her faith and say, oh, you see me? Well, I've been praying for you, not you in particular, but a godly man, but God bring it you to me. All right, we will talk and see how the Lord leads. I know that man is a good man. He trusts the Lord well. So I guess even if she is a bit scared, he will encourage her. Ah, you prayed, you see. So I must be the man. Well, dear friends, there must be some joy in our heart, even when times of fear come. Why? The Lord is our help. Unfailing help. He has removed our curse. He has taken away all our sorrows. Are you afraid your faith will fail? But remember, Christ can hold me fast. That's what the hymn that we are going to sing in conclusion. Let's all arise.